And we give him praise. Amen. Amen. So we thank God. As Peter said, he may have been kind of speaking selfishly, but in Mark 9:5, he said it is good for us to be here. Amen. Y'all know he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus was transfigured.
Watch out.
Before him. And him, Peter, James, and John were there with him. And they just wanted to stay there. Let's just stay here on the mountain, Lord. Forget everybody else, everything else. This is glorious. So we say he might have been a little selfish there when he said, it's good for us to be here. He said, let's just build some tabernacles right up here. And we go ahead and worship right here and stay here. You know, because we got Moses, Elijah, and you. And, you know, and of course, he heard a voice speak from heaven, the mountain. Mountain was covered with clouds, and a voice spoke out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. Amen. And so we know he is the focal point of everything that God is doing on earth right now. Once again, I want to thank Pastor Bartlett for the invitation. And this is the official Men's and Women's Day for 2018. And the theme that you guys have on your program is serving the Lord together in his house. Joshua 24:14-15. So I was blessed when Pastor called me and gave me that theme. And I want to use just a few other verses here in Joshua to bring another point that came to my spirit when I saw this subject. And I'm going to say this too, because I always just have to give a caveat that people who come out like you have done here today to be filled again. You were filled this morning. But you know that the writer to the Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And even more so as you see the day drawing near. And so sometimes I just have enjoyed being filled again. I don't know about you. When I hear the choir sing, when I hear the word go forth, I heard my brother's message, the little talk there was just great. It just filled my spirit again. Amen. And so I'm good to be filled again. He said, do this even more so as you see the day draw near. And certainly we look around, we know something is happening, don't we? We see people who have no love. My brother talked about that this morning. They have no love for one another. And, you know, they don't know the answer. This is the part that really gets me. People don't know why stuff is berserk. Why are there 19-year-olds who hate people so much? They go and shoot down 17 people in cold blood. Why is that? Why does that exist? Why is there a guy who'll come in and sit in on your Bible study and hear it and then shoot Mother Emanuel members? And why is there a person like that in the world who hates so much that I'm just going to go and just kill some people? Yeah, no love.
No love.
And you know why? This is the byproduct of what has been going on in our country. Back about 50, 60 years ago, we got smart, we thought. Well, you know what? We got all this technology. We don't need God anymore. Let's throw that Bible out. We don't want any Bible in the schools. See? Okay, we don't want that no more. Okay, all right. That's, you know, when you put God out, what do you think happens? You're going to raise up a generation that hate, and it's coming out of their spirit. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
That's what he said.
So a lot of what we see going on, the church knows what the problem is. The problem is you people have dismissed God, and you think you're going to be okay without him. And see, you can't do that. You can't dismiss God from a culture. And what you see here in Joshua, I'm going to get back on point here, because we know the answer is exactly what happened to Israel. God has separated the people to his own possession. And if we look here in Joshua, I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. You can stand if you like. And Joshua here, 24:26 says this. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you. lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And then shortly after this, Joshua passed away. Good leadership passed away. And it came to pass that after these things, that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, which is in the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. You may be seated in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
When you have good leadership in a church, I'm going to talk just for a few minutes here to the men and women of New Prospect and St. Timothy and whoever else has an ear to hear.
All right.
About becoming effective stewards of the promised blessings. And this coincides with serving the Lord together in his house. Becoming effective stewards of the promised blessings. God has promised blessings to his people.
Yes, he has.
God has many promises that have yet to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
And you know, God does not force people to do things. You know that. He can, and he's got all authority.
Yes, he
does. And he can do it, but he chooses that those who serve him willfully.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See? And when you do it willfully and joyfully, then the blessings come forth.
Amen.
God has promised blessings to the ones who bless you and cursings to the ones who curse you.
Right.
That's what he told Abraham, right?
Amen.
He said, get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred, come into a land that I'll show you, and I will bless you and make your name great.
Yeah.
And you shall be a blessing.
Yeah.
And I will bless him that blesseth you and curse him that curseth you. And in your seed, families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is speaking a blessing. It's always a blessing to voluntarily serve God.
Amen.
In his house and out of his house. When you go out, when you are, as the Baptist covenant says, you are exemplary in your deportment.
Yeah.
That means when you go out, you set the example of who's God's people are.
Right.
You take a stand for what is right, what's righteous, what's good,
yeah,
what's acceptable, and what's holy,
yeah,
in the sight of God. Your life is a witness to the people,
yeah,
that you are, that you live around, those that you work with, those on your street, those in the marketplace, anywhere you go, your life becomes a witness of who you are.
Right.
You don't have to go out going, oh, hallelujah, every 5 minutes. They know who you are because they see how you walk.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they wonder, why are they different? You know, God said this. Jesus said that a city that is set upon a hill, what? Cannot be hid.
Yeah.
You know, his joy is in you because you know the answer.
That's right. Amen.
You know about the blessing.
Amen.
And it can't help but spew out of you and overflow.
Yeah.
You may even try to cover it. Somebody might want to be a closet Christian today. See, you may try to cover it, but it's going to blossom out and people are going to know about it. See, so you have to be careful what you do. That's why this thing, serving the Lord together in his house, is good, and it coincides with what we're talking about right now, becoming effective stewards of the promised blessings. God has promised blessings for all of you who trust him and serve him joyfully and by faith. You don't have to be coherent. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The way you walk. Like my brother said there when in his talk, he said that all men will know that you are my disciples. Why? Because you have love one for another. The way you treat each other. It's critical. It's very important. And it's seen. It's preaching more than all the preaching that we could possibly do. It's the way you, well, why do these people care so much for each other? Why do they care about somebody like me? And when they see that, they can see the love of God. And Paul said it like this. He said, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? So being filled with the Spirit, that's why the writer to the Hebrews said what he said, is that continue to do this and do it even more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen.
Stuff like we see going on in the news is evidence that the world, this is what happens when you push God out of the center of a culture. It's what happened back in these days. Like Joshua said, you know, choose this day whom you will serve. There were other folks thought something else was God back then. He says, you can serve the gods of your fathers that didn't get you anywhere. In so many words, or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell.
All right.
But as for me and my house,
yeah,
we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And these people said, we make a covenant, we will serve the Lord.
Uh-huh.
See? And you know what? They did for a while.
Yeah.
After Joshua died and those elders who were there with him that had seen all the works that God had done, the catalog of that is in the book of Judges. It says this in Judges 2:8. Just bear with me. Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. That's a direct duplicate of what it says in Joshua. Notice this verse 10, Judges 2:10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. The next generation was not as devoted. They were the children of the folks who were devoted. The next generation was not devoted. So when that older generation died out, it says here that they did not, they said they knew not the Lord, and yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel, these are the covenant people, did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baalim. Wow, they went away from God in just one generation after the good leadership had went away. So, and I say this to provoke us as the people of God, take a stand. Be happy about who you are and what God has promised you. Walk by faith and not by sight. You don't have to go with the culture, go with the flow. You can stand for God no matter what you're doing, and you need to, because you and I, the reason we have been so blessed is that we are stewards of the promised blessings. God has promised to bless you, and we are stewards of that. A steward, just to define it, I'm sure you know because you got good leaders here who teach you the word. A steward is somebody who is in charge of something that doesn't belong to them. It doesn't belong to you. God gave it to you. Somebody sing it in a song, Jesus gave it to me, and I'm going to let it shine. See, he gave it to you. You are a steward of the blessing that God has promised. And you're not going to make it shine, but you're just going to let it shine. See, he fills you with his spirit, and he's just going to, it exudes out of you whether you like it or not. If you trust him, if you walk by faith and not by sight. But you see, it only took one generation, Judges tells us, for the children of Israel to turn their back. Verse 12 says, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger.
All right.
And Joshua had set up a stone. I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when the Pharisees were mad when he showed up and they began to say, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They said, rebuke your disciples. You know, to hear them praising you, he said, these don't praise me. Guess what? The rocks will cry. The rocks bear witness that he was the Son of God. But if they don't praise me, he said, the rocks are going to cry. See? And so basically, people forget God. They begin, it says here, they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. These are false gods. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them and sold them into the hands of their enemies round about them, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies.
All right.
Is that a wake-up call for somebody in America? You throw out God, guess what happens?
Chaos.
The devil and chaos and confusion. Murder, all kinds of stuff comes in that was unheard of. When God was in the center of everything, stuff was closed on Sunday. Certain stuff you couldn't do on Sunday. There was not all kinds of stuff all around. And now they push God out. Guess what fills in the vacuum? The things of Satan come in. See, and there's a warning even in the New Testament on the same note. Hebrews 4:1 says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise of being left us, of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. It's a warning. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that hear it. When you hear the truth, you got to apply faith.
Amen.
Just because 90% of the people think it's okay, that doesn't mean it's okay for me.
That's right.
It's not okay for my house.
Amen.
Not okay for my people.
Yeah.
Not okay for anybody in my group of people, in my church, my home. See? And so basically, for which they believe, it says here in verse 3, that the gospel was preached to them, but they did not get the benefit because it was not mixed with faith. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Mm-hmm. Do you rest and trust totally in the work of Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people today, you know, you got some folk out here twisting the truth.
Yes.
Well, you know, are you keeping the Sabbath? They say to you, have you heard it?
Yeah.
Are you keeping the laws of God? Well, you know what? You probably aren't. The laws of God didn't save the people who walked in them before. Why? Because they had to bring a sacrifice because they didn't keep God's law.
That's right.
See, and that was written in the law. So it was built into it that you need a sacrifice.
Yeah.
See, so people today are trying to push you back into works righteousness. It happened to the Galatians, and Paul rebuked them. You foolish Galatians.
Yep.
Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. He said, this only what I know of you. Did you receive the salvation by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? How did you get saved? They got saved by hearing the gospel. And so we got people today contaminating the truth of the gospel. So what I want to do now, I got something. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all probably wondering, where is he going? Okay, stay with me just a minute. We're going to get a blessing here. I want you to become effective stewards of the promised blessings.
Yes.
God has promised to bless you, and because you're here, few in number.
Yes.
I don't trip off big numbers.
Right.
Jesus called 12.
Yes.
And he turned the world upside down with 12.
Yes.
See,
yes.
One of them betrayed him and turned his back on him, and he called Paul to fill in the gaps.
Yes.
So you don't need a lot. You just need some faithful few. The faithful few, if you hang on to it, you got somewhere to go.
Right.
Now this is what I want you to see. Number one is, if we are going to be good stewards with the mysteries and the promises of God, who has given his only begotten son, that's how invested God is into it. How many of you play chess or know how the game chess goes? A few. We got a few. Okay. Chess is probably deep today, and people have set chess aside. But in chess, there's a move you can make. The object is to get the king locked up where he cannot move without being in trouble. We call that check. Every time something is threatening the king, check. You're in check. And something has to happen to get the king out of check. Either that plate piece has got to be taken off the board, or the king has got to move, or something. Something has to happen to stop the king from being in check. And we call that check. And then when the king can't move anymore at all, and he's locked down, checkmate. That's the end of the game. And you won. Just to give you a brief synopsis. So, but what I want to talk to you today is what we need to have, you and I, we need a godly checking account. Okay, I'm not talking about the one in your wallet back there, but we need a checking account. There's some stuff we need to put in check. We need to stop that thing, put it in check. So I'm talking about how you can have a godly checking account. We must make sure to put the sinful things of the gods of the unbelievers in check. Your job as a faithful believer in Christ, you need to say, check. Set that piece there. You in check, baby. That doesn't ride here. That don't fly here. You in check. We got to put their stuff in check. That's what I'm talking about. We must put our own agendas in check. It's not okay just, well, this I did it my way. Frank Sinatra don't fly here. You got to put that in check. We're on an agenda for God. We want his program to go forth. We want his word to go forth. What he says is true. Doesn't make any difference what the culture says, the government says, anybody else. We put you in check. We tell you the truth. See? So we must put our own agenda in check. We must put churchianity in check.
Okay, all right.
What is church? Churchianity, that's when the church makes its own rules that God hasn't said. Churchianity, that's what I call it. You're walking around, you're looking good, but God didn't say that. He didn't tell you to kiss no ring. He didn't tell you to genuflect and worship any statues. He didn't tell you any of that stuff. It's not in his word. If it's so, and I told many people, show me where it says I should worship Mary and I'll eat the page. And I'm not mad at you, but please show it to me. It's in the Bible. Tell me where I need to say a rosary. And I'll eat the page. You know why I say it? Because I never eat the page. The reason is not that's churchianity. You made that up. It's not in the truth. You say Jesus had no brothers and sisters. The word says he did. Somebody is wrong. It's either you or the word. And we know who it is. So we got to put some stuff in check. We must put all worldly philosophy in check. I don't care who it is. Freud, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, Confucius, Mohammed, Farrakhan, Black Lives Matter, etc. Check! There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One way to be saved. I'm not going to get... The devil wants you on a tangent. Something other than God's program. But I say check. None of that. Now, if you have a godly checking account, I think you get my drift with the spiritual checking account. And if you do this, then you can be a recipient of what God has provided through Jesus Christ, which is a spiritual savings account. If you got a spiritual checking account, guess what? Jesus got a savings account. He will save your soul if you walk with me. If you don't mind taking the heat for me. If you don't mind preaching the truth for me. If you don't mind standing for what's right for me. Then I put you in my savings account. And I'll save your soul. Because you don't mind taking the heat and putting everything else in check. And this is not just any old savings account. It's a spiritual savings account with guaranteed dividends in the bank of heaven. Guaranteed. You don't have to worry about, is it going to go belly up? Is this going to be Bernie Madoff made off with whatever I had? I don't know who would have gave that man a dime. His name was Madoff. Come on now. And he done made off. Now he got all your money and he gone. You know, but we need to invest in the church. When you give to the church, you are giving to the only thing that's going to abide when the heavens and earth have passed away. Very important. A lot of people play that down, but I play it up. My wife and I, we decided we play that up. We want to invest in the church because it's got eternal dividends from God. I'm not going to invest in something else that's going to burn up. When heaven and earth have passed away, the scripture says it's going to be rolled up like a scroll. And there'll be no place found for it. Then he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God. As a bride adorned for her husband. That's what John saw. He said, I looked and I saw the heavens and the earth rolled up like a scroll and there was no more sea. So what are you investing in? Are you investing in God's kingdom? In his work? His plan? You know what? It's got eternal dividends. You're not going to be sorry. I thank him now because we have been through all kinds of stuff and I'm still standing. Been sick, been to the hospital. God brought you back out. He keeps you going. And what else is better? What else is better? We celebrated just this week Brother Ray turned 70. 310. Worth more than gold. And you trust God and you support his plan. See, and you have a spiritual savings account from the Lord. We have these two accounts working together on our behalf. God has promised us when these two things are working on God's behalf, God has promised you a heavenly retirement or inheritance account. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. That's the substance of what you're going to have here. But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and thieves do not break through nor steal. It's secure. You see, you don't have to worry about who's in the White House, who's in the Kremlin, any of that stuff. And are they in cahoots? Don't make no difference. Peter put it this way, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now notice this phrase, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. That's Peter's promise of the bank account that God has laid up for you. An inheritance that can't nobody touch it. Now I don't know if what's the name of who said you can't touch this.
MC Hammer.
Come on now. Heard my brother over here talking about the thrill is gone this morning. Y'all know about this stuff now. Come on now. Don't tell me it's just me. Peter says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That's your life on earth. Pressing through, keeping God in front. Keeping the church first. Keeping the doctrine of the church pure and right. Taking a stand, taking the flak, checking the enemy against the works against Jesus. See, he says, wherein now ye greatly rejoice, though for now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial or the testing of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
All right.
That's who I'm concerned about. I don't care what Trump thinks about me.
Amen.
You can think what you want. You ain't got no heaven or hell to put me in. So I ain't studying you. I'm going to put it in modern English. I ain't studying you. Jesus said do it this way. So Jesus said that, and we already mentioned, lay out for yourselves treasures here on earth. And the reason he said it is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you want to be a good steward, an effective steward, what are you doing? How do you have your priorities set? I think the people who are here, your priorities are set pretty good. But you say, I don't care what's going on. I'm coming back to praise God one more time. One more time. I need to be filled one more time. I need to bless his name one more time. I need to fellowship with the saints one more time. Then I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but tonight, hallelujah. I'm here to bless his name right now. So you want to be good stewards, and these are promised blessings. This is not some speculation.
All right.
This is what God said.
Yes.
Whoever does these things will be blessed in his deeds.
Word.
See, that's the word of God.
Yes.
And as they always say, you can take it to the bank.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So if you're here today and you're not saved, we want to make an altar call.
Amen.
Salvation is a free gift.
Yes.
It's given by God's grace through faith in his son.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. There's no other way you can get it. You don't have any money to pay for it. There's no amount of money that could purchase it. But the blood of Jesus is shed. So that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the only way you can get it. You must receive it as a free gift. And as we've already heard, God so loved the world. All these people who are tripping out here, they don't even know why they're messed up. They have no idea. I thought about that guy, the young guy, 19, murdering all those people. Do you know you have not considered what you are doing? You have no love. You're filled with hatred and animosity. And God loves you just like you are. But you haven't heard it. When we were kids, it was everywhere. It was all in the culture. You couldn't miss it. You had two generations, I did, of godly people behind you who told you what was right. They had been persecuted and held in slavery and all kinds of stuff, some of them.
Watch out.
You see, but they told you how to get right with God. How to walk by faith and not by sight. How to build yourself a future in heaven. See, you know what? That don't mean God's not going to bless you here. Don't go there. God got everything. The psalm says the earth is the Lord's, right? And the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell in it. See, so it's not about whether you have stuff. Yeah, I'd like to have a lot of stuff. God's going to give it to you. But are you a good steward of the stuff God has given you?
Amen.
Are you dedicated to it? Do you intend to properly propagate what God has given you. That's what I say. In order for you to do that, square one is be saved. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap.
Yes, it is.
Because God is only Son. And Jesus willfully took the debt for all our sin in order to give us something we could never earn or deserve. So if you're here today and you're not saved, trust Jesus Christ right now. Believe that God raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you shall be saved. Oh, he says, confess him and believe that God raised him from the dead. You know what? Nobody else can give you that promise. It gets a time when the doctor say, that's it, we've done all we can do. But God never says, that's all I can do. See, he has a promise that goes all the way through into eternity. So I invite you to receive him today. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. Amen.
Come by love, captivated baptism, or by preaching experience. The doors of the church are open.